Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Texter said, Rob, as a former Floridian, I can confirm that Jacksonville is indeed America's booty shoot. That's just facts, not editorial. Yeah, I refer to myself as an analyst. I refer to myself as an editorialist because I am. However, I have served in the capacity of journalism before.
Could we, I don't know, I guess two words be a phrase? I don't know. Could we not say that again? You know, even though I had my ears covered while I was making a phone call, I heard that, and that just...
We shall refer to...
That seems a little bit on the edge of getting, having to take a trip down the hall, which I do not want to do.
Well, it's tame compared to what a lot of what we said, but what I will say is, you're right, Texter, and as a journalist, I can confirm that. Hey! Speaking of journalist, one who... See, that's a segue. I'm a professional.
Way to go, you.
Speaking of someone who is one, she is a journalist who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department over in Columbia, South Carolina. She joins us every Thursday in the 8 o'clock segment to talk Gamecock football. We're going to rotate it, morph it over into basketball as we start to get deeper and deeper into the college basketball season. She is the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show. Good morning, Lulu Kesson. How do you do?
Good morning. How are you guys? I'm good.
Are you recovered from the weekend?
Finally, yes.
Yes.
All the time changes and all the travel and everything. Yeah.
I believe it.
I'm doing well.
I believe it. Let's dive in, Lulu Kesson, a little roadie over to Nashville, Tennessee, where the Gamecocks were facing yet another ranked team. This time, one of the most interesting stories in college football, the Vanderbilt Commodores. And this game felt interesting for South Carolina because Vandy was hot, because all eyes were suddenly, and maybe for the first time in the history of that program, on Nashville. And it felt like a game that Vanderbilt would have loved to add to the 2024 story of the Doors, but South Carolina went over and kind of imposed the will a little bit. Give me your 36,000-foot view of this contest.
Yeah, I felt like South Carolina almost was a little offended at times that scouts thought that the game would be so close, which you kind of have to tip your hat, to Vanderbilt and how they've played this season, and I'm not surprised people thought it was going to be a great game, but it sort of felt like South Carolina was riding the energy of like, hey, we've won 15 straight games against this team. This isn't going to change this season, no matter how good they are. So it just kind of felt like Oklahoma a little bit like didn't really take the foot off the gas from the first quarter to the fourth and just played a complete game. And the offense, even though obviously Lenore Sellers had that fumble, did enough to kind of put the game away, especially Rocket Sanders for sure.
And to me, we talked about this on Monday, Lulu Kesson. It feels like the last couple of weeks, this team started to open up a little bit. It feels like they've kind of started to open up the playbook. I said on Monday's show, I think there's a lot of folks out there, and I am one of them, a lot of folks out there that maybe Odell Loggins some flowers, right? Like, this guy was taking hell earlier in the season. And this time around, it kind of felt like that offense was picking up some momentum, was opened up a little bit. What's your opinion on all that?
What I've the thing about Dowell and the thing about criticism about his play call and stuff is that a lot of the time when I see it, I hear people's frustration. However, I think McDowell has an extremely good understanding on his team, which is what should be the case if you're an offensive coordinator. But his ability to almost read the moment and read momentum, I think, is sort of what's impressing me most right now, because he could so easily try to do so much with a team that's improving, but he's almost kind of just pacing himself, how I feel, honestly, and just doing, you know, he talked about, like, all season long, he's just been like, yeah, we just need time. Like, we have young players, and, like, no one wanted to hear that. And I don't even feel like he's in, like, I told you so mode. Like, he's just so focused on taking it game by game and reading the energy and the momentum of what's exactly in front of him and how that relates to, you know, his playbook and his play calling.
How much of that do you think, or what portion of that do you think is due to the development, the progression of Lenora Sellers as the quarterback and opening up the run game more progressively for Rocket Sanders? Because, you know, and you and I have had this conversation in the last handful of weeks about how, you know, one of the criticisms has been that Lenora Sellers very clearly has all the physical talent, but it doesn't feel like he's seeing the game better week by week. The last 3 weeks have kind of gone completely the opposite of that narrative. How much do you think, if the play calling has changed at all in your opinion, how much of that do you think has been because of the increased and maybe accelerated development of Lenora Sellers?
I think it's entirely because of that. I mean, I do think, like, I, looking back at plays and maybe like Kentucky or LSU or even Ole Miss at that point, and it's like, you kind of have to feel for Dowell in a sense, because he just doesn't have, his players aren't at the level or, I guess, comfortability that these people on Twitter want his players to be to call these plays. Like, I just think Lenoris is finally at a place where he's, the game is like so his speed now. It's easy. He's at ease. He's able to kind of operate and work at a comfortable pace and comfortable energy. And I think that's working hand in hand of what Dowell is looking to do. But I don't think Dowell's play calling right now would be getting the praise it did if it wasn't for Lenoris and his rapid improvement. I think that's sort of, now that the offensive line is sturdy and protecting him better, and then obviously that opens up the run game, like, it's all going hand in hand, and I think that's why Dowell's obviously able to explore his playbook a little bit. I truly do think in the beginning of the season he just didn't have the players that were ready for, I guess, maybe what his play calling abilities could do.
I think one of my Lulu Kesson favorite things has been that, and we talked a little bit about this in the last segment, Shane kind of had some words for a rival publication of yours based on some editorial comments that they've made. One of the things I've appreciated about Shane Beamer in recent months has been, even when he's been taking heat, and I will acknowledge for a handful of weeks, especially after the Ole Miss game, from me included, is that he has kind of stayed on message. It's been a very trust the process. I trust my guys. I mean, the biggest criticism I've heard is always, you know, this is multiple coordinator failures in a row. And he said, hey, y'all relax. Like, let us develop. Let us grow. And it seems like that's coming to fruition. Shane has every right to come over here and tap dance all over my metaphorical grave in that right. And he certainly is being kind of that fiery, aggressive dude that we like. But the message remains consistent from Shane Beamer, which is, just watch us. We're trending up. We're developing. We're getting better. Just keep an eye on us. And so far, he's been right.
Shane has always just wanted people to continue to watch and trust that his team will get better. And I think that takes a lot of confidence and almost, like, I don't want to be cheesy and say courage, but it's just, it's putting a lot of pressure on the future of your team. And I'm, you know, it's paying off for him entirely. Like, I think back to in the summer at SEC Media Days, he made like a classic dad joke about Rocket Sanders. And he was like, Rocket Sanders recovery is, you know, it's rocket science. And like, nobody laughed. And he was like, wow, like, I thought that was funnier than you guys did. And like, he can laugh all he wants. Rocket Sanders just fully is looking like shades of his 2022 self right now. So it's like I kind of what I saw in a little bit of him pulling up a reference to what someone said about Vanderbilt last year. Like, he's kind of in I told you so mode, but doing it in a way that's like, I'm not going to let you forget that this has been our plan all along to just improve game by game.
I respect that. I do. I also respect a good dad joke every now and then. So good on Shane. We are talking to Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. She covers the South Carolina Athletic Department for the Greenville News over in Columbia, South Carolina. You know, we said coming into this game, you and I talked about it last week. We agreed key to the game was the two defensive ends, limiting what Diego Pavia was able to do outside of the pocket. Keep him in the pocket. Keep him contained. Make him beat you either with his arm or if he's going to run, make him run into the heart of that defense. And I feel like that game plan, for the most part, was successful. He did have the one touchdown run. But outside of that, it felt like South Carolina defensively just kind of kept Vanderbilt from ever getting comfortable.
And I guess that's sort of the prime example. Like, when you hear Clayton White in media talk about, like, oh, we're prepared because we get to go against Lenora Sellers every day, like, that kind of was a prime example of actually what happens when you're preparing for a quarterback and who plays sort of like Lenora does. And I think Pavia had shades, like, they were very similar. And I think that's why South Carolina from the jump was just kind of able to predict every, like, magical Houdini move he made and everything like that, because obviously Lenora's had his fair share of those against the Vanderbilt defense. So it was just a clear, it looked like South Carolina's preparation was perfectly executed, in my opinion, especially against a really good quarterback.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Mizzou Tigers, the next one up. And we kind of talked earlier in the week, and you don't want to get presumptive. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, Lulu Kessin. The Gamecocks went out there 9-3. Not just 9-3, but they're 9-3 against one of the most difficult schedules in America. I heard Heather Dinich on ESPN say, oh, you know, if Georgia loses three, you can't count Georgia out. And my response was, if you can't count Georgia out, you better have Carolina in that same discussion. But obviously, to get there, you got to get through Mizzou. And this is a team that South Carolina has had some battles with the last couple of years. Does this year's contest feel any different to Shane Beamer? Is there any different approach that he's taken based on what the team has developed into this season?
He told us Tuesday that they've just kicked their butts physically every year. Like, obviously Shane Beamer's 0-3 against Mizzou in his time at South Carolina, and I think this does mean a little bit more to him. I think South Carolina is at a place where just – it's so perfectly timed for them, and it's such a golden opportunity. Like, everything's clicking for them, whereas it seems like Missouri, which is a great team and 7-2, is dealing with some pretty significant injuries right now. So I think it's more of, yes, this year is different because of how good we feel right now. Yes, this year is important because we don't want to win or don't want to lose a fourth straight game to Missouri under Beamer, but it's also like, okay, yes, this year has to be different based on the simple fact that we're a stronger team on paper right now, and we have to take advantage of that opportunity.
So what's this game look like to you? I mean, is there anything specifically about Mizzou? Because you kind of know what Eli Drinkwitz's program looks like. And Shane's right. They want to beat you at the point of attack. They want to be able to run the ball. They want to kind of own the line of scrimmage. Obviously, that plays into a very good defensive line for the South Carolina Gamecocks. What's your overall view of this game before we get into the X's and O's?
I think my overall takeaway is Shane was, you know, praising the wide receiver core, and I think – maybe I can't look, I don't have the box scores and the numbers from the last three times they've played, but I think this specific Missouri team might throw the ball a lot more than the others just by based on the wide receivers they have and the quarterbacks they have. I don't think either quarterback is going to want to run the ball nearly as much as other QBs that South Carolina has played this season.
I don't disagree with that at all. So then let's kind of segue that into this. We have spent, Lulu Kessin, so much time talking about the defensive line, talking about Stewart and Kincaid and these other guys that are playing with their hands in the ground. Talk to me about the development, the improvement, what you think about the defensive backs for the Gamecocks, because they are likely going to be challenged by Mizzou.
You know, Vanderbilt was a huge test without having DQ Smith. DQ Smith is, you know, a starting defensive back for South Carolina who's been kind of that core, like, junior presence on the team. And he pulled something in warmups and just, like, all of a sudden couldn't play against Vanderbilt. And Peyton Williams stepped in and kind of stepped in flawlessly, which really speaks to the depth that South Carolina has on defense, but just also obviously credit to Williams as well. So I think South Carolina's secondary and, you know, their defensive backs are going to be challenged similar to Alabama. You know that Ryan Williams, obviously against Alabama, was there and was a threat and was a huge kind of point of emphasis in scouting. And Shane was honest. He was like, I'd love to look at the, you know, the box score on Saturday and see that they had zero catches, but it's not realistic. So it's about making tackles after the catch. So I think that's kind of going to be the key. South Carolina has kind of had these, like, random pockets of missed tackles per game. So that's going to be critical. Obviously, South Carolina is going to try to eliminate every single catch that, you know, Luther Burden and Lukey Cooper make. But it's kind of just about, okay, they make a nice catch. You got to tackle them the second that they come down with the ball.
Lulu Kesson covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Before we let you go, Lulu, you know what the interview ends with every single week. There is a game. The South Carolinas win yet their next game against a top 25 team in the Missouri Tigers if blank.
If they prove that they understand the importance of winning a game they need to win. A&M, it was like they were the underdogs, and I truly think that South Carolina, this is the first time that they really, really should win an SEC game. And I think that if it's sprinkles of LSU or sprinkles of their old self, then that will say a lot. So I guess my overall take is South Carolina has to play just as good mentally as they've been playing physically to close the season.
You know what I love about that, Lulu Kesson? What I love is what you just said. This maybe feels like, and I'm even including the Vanderbilt game last week, this feels like the first time that you look at a Southeastern Conference game being played by the Gamecocks and go, they should win this game. Not a they can, not a if they play well, not if they have a great day and the other guys have a bad day or whatever. This is the first time in a minute that you can look at an SEC game and go, South Carolina should win this football game. The only way they don't is if they have a bad day, and I got to think that comes as a relief to a lot of Gamecock fans.
Totally. Absolutely. And, yeah, you said it best. I have a small story, but I'm not going to continue on that. But
Wait, you can't say I have a story and then not tell the story, Lulu Kesson. We got like a minute and 10 seconds left. Come on now.
I'll say it really fast, and it's probably going to disappoint a lot of people because it's not about South Carolina. But I think back to the Lions and the 49ers playoff game last year, and I remember hearing my dad, when the Lions started losing, he was like yelling at the TV, but he was saying, don't do this to us. And it was like so much emotion about being like a bandwagon Lions fan and being like, everyone's rooting for you. Don't let us down at the highest stage. And I feel like that's what South Carolina fans are going to feel like if they crumble this weekend. It's like, you gave us so much hope. Don't let it die so quickly and so easily. You know, it's the last conference home game. It's a big deal. It's a 4 p.m. kick, which is basically a night game because it gets dark at like 5. So there's a lot going into this game, and I think South Carolina fans are going to feel very, very sad if it doesn't go their way.
I like that. And also, I 100% want to watch a Lions game with your dad now. Lulu Kesson covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News, joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock sports. Lulu, you are the best. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. Lulu Kesson. Follow her on X at Lulu Kesson, LuluKesson. She is the best. Back after this, we do a short version of the audio blitz. Then we got Rashad Beard. Then we got Mario Hessen. Mario Hessen. What is wrong with me? Mario Herron, a.k.a. Hate Mask Mario. Then we got Fight Club, and then we all go home. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Texter said, Rob, my 4-year-old just heard you say Gamecocks, and she said, ew, nasty boys, we don't like them. Hashtag raise them right. I like that. I like that. Hell yeah, raise them right. They should have an immediate disdain for your rival's logo and name. I don't care who your rivals are or what their logo and name are.
Which is why orange is not allowed in my house.
I respect that immensely. I truly do. Hey, we got Rashad Beard coming up in the next segment. So we got a very, very, very short audio blitz here. Like, time for one or two that we are going to run through. Let's go with this one. Because I think because it's one we could end up having a conversation for the rest of the segment. The Jets and the Cardinals played last week. And the Cardinals beat the hell out of the Jets. So bad that on the sideline, Kyler Murray, quarterback, and James Conner, running back, had this conversation. Why is this not? Oh. Had this conversation. That's my bad.
It's a privilege to feel like we good, you know what I'm saying? We good enough to, as long as I do me. He grew up eating Wendy's.
Okay. Arby's?
Oh, whatever the Arby's, Wendy's.
Long John Silver.
All that. Oh, gang. Oh, gang. Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Sonic.
I had it.
Yeah, Sonic.
So the conversation was just the list of fast food places that they enjoy.
Okay, but why? I mean, it's just, what's this have to do with the game? They're just, is this
nothing at all. They were up 31-6. They were doing whatever they wanted to do offensively. At this point, they were just enjoying their Sunday at the park.
They were doing the Al Michaels riff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just enjoy. Right. Because, and again, as we talked about earlier, when the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, Darren Rizzi, pointed out that his day started by showing up and clogging the commode in his very first day as a game day coach as a head coach for the Saints, these people are people too.
By the way, I get it. I didn't have Sonic till we moved out here. I think since then it's moved further north, but at the time it was pretty much down here.
How do you feel about Sonic?
I like Sonic.
I do too.
There's a problem though with my car. So, I mean, I liked it better when I had an SUV.
You know, Sonic has drive-thrus now.
Yeah.
Like legit drive-thrus. I know.
Well, what we do, they also have you can sit outside and eat ice cream.
They do.
Yeah.
A lot of them do. Yeah. Now, the Sonic I grew up at, back down in Shalimar, Florida, the vast metropolitan area that it is, the area I grew up at, our Sonic, old school, though, had the waitresses that came out on roller skates.
Yeah.
And so it was an old school car hop, right? And I do remember the old man taking there, and they would come out, and they even had the little tray that clipped onto the window, you know?
They still have trays here like that hook on the window.
Do they?
That's why I don't go there with my car, because, you know, my smart car, it'll turn it over.
The image of you climbing into one of those glorified Hot Wheels is hilarious.
I've been in a Mini Cooper before.
Ugh.
at my fattest, which I'm not at, by the way, believe it or not, been in a Mini Cooper, and they're surprisingly roomy. But a smart car, I don't think would be.
I am very Team Sonic, all right? Footlong chili cheese coney with tots. Get the extra tots, and the Route 44 is untouchable.
I do love the... Right? You can buy the tots in your local grocer now in the freezer.
You can, and I have. And by the way, out of the air fryer they are.
I always make my tots in the air fryer.
Yeah, don't microwave them.
Can you tell the difference between those tots and other tots?
Yeah, just like everything else, though, right? It's like a McDonald's Coke. Coke is good, but McDonald's Coke, there's just something special about it. Now that we've talked about Sonic and their drive-thru, Lonzo, you're an O-H-I-O guy. Have you ever heard of a restaurant called Swenson's?
Absolutely. Love Swenson's.
You know Swenson's.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of Swenson's. By the way, you would be a big fan of Swenson's, especially, I believe it's called the Earthquake. It has like 8 to 10 scoops. It's one of those, if you can eat it yourself, you get a T-shirt.
Ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we would go in and split, like 4 of us. Some people wouldn't be able to handle it because, ice cream melts and you might get some of their ice cream on your ice cream because of the spoon. Usually family, but we would split the cost and get a ton of ice cream.
Yeah. I like that.
One last thing. They have a train that would go around the top of
okay, that's cool.
The inside. Yeah,
I like that
a
lot.
It was really cool.
Here's the reason I bring up Swenson's, because last weekend somebody took Cleveland Browns starting quarterback Jameis Winston to a Swenson's for the first time.
The train could be on the window?
On the window.
What?
Oh
my gosh. So we get to keep this tray on our window.
It can be our secret.
Okay. One thing that we did desire, we wanted to try the Ohio cherry soda.
Yes.
And we would like to try the California grape soda.
Okay.
This is the coolest thing ever. Like, I ain't never seen no tray that just stick on your window.
And they bring it to your car.
That's what I'm saying. They bring the tray to your car and they put it on your window.
Jameis blown away by a tray that hooks onto your window.
By the way, our Swenson's, growing up, there's only like 2. There's probably a ton there now.
Yeah.
In the Columbus area, they didn't have they were like storefront things. But they were really, really, really good. I miss Swenson's.
I believe it. And you've won over Jameis Winston?
Better than Dairy Queen, and I grew up Dairy Queen all the time. Yeah, just because. Yeah.
So did I. I've been Team DQ my whole life. DQ is a road trip must stop for me. There are two spots. Whenever we left town, my dad hit 2 spots. He hit the Crystal for a sack of Crystal Burger, and we hit the DQ to get the vanilla ice cream cone that they dip into the hard shell chocolate.
Yeah.
Those were the go-tos.
Yeah, peanut Buster Parfait, if we could afford it. There was one in Obetz. Look it up. They have like a pumpkin festival.
I just love Jameis Winston losing his mind over a tray that hooks onto your window. Spectacular. All right, when we come back, the legendary Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us here on the show to talk a little Panther football. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Thursdays at 8:40, we take it right up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we welcome in the host of your source for Panthers Talk, the Panther Nation podcast, which you can follow on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, you need to drop him a follow on the YouTube channel, Panther Nation Podcast. Rashad Beard joins us every Thursday at 8:40. And look, we're going to go through all the stuff he got to go over to Germany, watch the Panthers put 2 wins in a row together. My God, the world is on fire right now. We'll get to that in a minute. But I forgot, I meant to tell this story last week. Midway through the Panthers-Saints game, because Rashad and I have a tradition, it's 4 years running now, when the Saints play up in Charlotte, I go up there, we meet up at halftime, we do a couple of shots of whiskey and chat and talk it up or whatever, talk a little smack back and forth, didn't do much of that this year, but we have some fun. I texted Rashad with about 7-8 minutes left in the half. I'm like, yo, this is where I'm at, where are you at, where's a bar in the middle we can meet up? And my man goes, hang on, BRB, gotta go meet Chris Gamble real quick. Dude just dropping on my head that I'm second place because he's just going to chat it up with the Panthers legend. What up, Shad?
Yo, what's going on, guys, man? Salute to Chris Gamble, man. That's a good guy. Don't see him very often, so you gotta take advantage of that one. So I had to go
see Chris. There's a lot of dudes that if you go, yo, I got to go meet somebody first, I'd be like, oh, okay, I get it.
It's Buckeyes over Rob.
But it's Chris Campbell.
Anytime any Buckeye wants, I'm going to meet that Buckeye before I go meet Rob.
That's fair.
I mean, come on.
That's fair. How was Germany, bro?
Germany was great, man. Amazing experience. Got to take my family out there. It was really good times. Travel was a bit rough. You know, not anybody, not by the flights or anything. It was just long flights. All the plans went accordingly. So thankful for no delays or anything like that. But yeah, man, really good times. Salute to Germany, Bavaria. Great times, man. Great times.
Yeah, I love to hear that. And listen, we're going to get to the football here in just a minute. But Lonzo wanted to ask, and so did I, how was food?
I mean, food was okay. I'm not traveling to Germany for food per se. And y'all got some schnitzel, got some bratwurst, stuff that.
I've never had schnitzel before. And so, yeah. I mean, what does schnitzel taste like?
Oh, it's just a flat piece of chicken.
Yeah.
Fried
is it
chicken,
really?
That's all it is.
That's all, I'm disappointed. That's all.
Why?
Yeah.
I've never looked it up to
you
see what it was.
You didn't know what it is, but you're disappointed.
No, because I thought it would be more German.
No, you take it, you pound it real, real thin, and then you bread it and fry it, basically.
Wow.
And it's freaking delicious,
I
for
do
the
that
record.
At home.
It's good.
So, okay.
It's
all
good.
Right. Fine.
All right. Let's get into some Panther football with Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. The boys put back-to-back dubs together, one at home against the Saints, one over in Deutschland over the New York Giants. And listen, Rashad, I said this on Monday. I don't care if it's against two of the worst teams in the game. You put back-to-back dubs together, now you're laying a foundation. And I've said this to you a whole bunch of times this season. I feel better about your team than mine because you can see the quagmire that's ahead of my team. I have said all year, I see a foundation being laid for you guys. I see the silver lining. I see draft plans shaping up. I see a head coach that looks to me to be progressively more confident week to week. And I think this win was the result of that. It's not, I don't care if the Giants are 2-whatever. I don't care if they stink. You guys closed out the damn game that you very easily could have given away. And there's something to be said about that for me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we can pick apart where these teams rank and where I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. Like, as bad as we've been recently, Panther fans should be happy with the win, and we should not overanalyze the fact that it was the Giants and the Saints. We've lost to those teams. We've lost to worse teams, you know, in the past. We were that team. We were that team that was supposed to get beat by everybody. So we should not be, be down ourselves because we beat bad teams. You're supposed to beat these bad teams. Nobody says that when the Chiefs are, hey, they're 8-0, right? But they're squeaking it out, right? No, and nobody's talking about that, right? Let's just get the dubs. You beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and I'm okay with that. And listen, that game, we can nitpick about it. The Giants game, it shouldn't have been close. We were in control of that game largely throughout the entire game. We let it get close, and it is what it is. But I'm taking the dub, man. And I agree with everything you're saying. The coaching is getting better. Bryce is getting better. We're starting to get healthier. And so things are starting to shape up, and I'm happy with where we are.
I don't want to take this whole interview, as so many of them that we have done this year, Rashad, and spend 10 minutes on Bryce Young and then sprinkle in the rest. I'd like to get everything else that happened. Yeah. But obviously you have to talk about QB1 that you were this invested in. And the point that I made on Monday, and I'm curious to get your reaction to it, was Bryce Young looked like an efficient game manager. 15 to 25, 150 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions, none that even really felt like they were close to getting picked off. Probably, I think I counted 3 drops that probably would have made it closer to like 18 of 25 for maybe a buck 90. Maybe he touches that 200-yard mark. Maybe one results in another touchdown. You get into the red zone, whatever. The dude has progressed from guy that I don't know if I bench him every week to this is an efficient enough game manager that if we had better talent around him at the wide receiver corps specifically, once John Brooks get healthy, he gives you another option to catch the ball out of the backfield. This is a dude I trust to go out there and handle his business and let the team win games. And that's the next step on that journey to being the guy. I was thrilled with what I saw out of Bryce Young. He just handled the game as it came to him.
Yeah, 1,000% agree. He's getting more confident. Though his pocket presence has improved. He's getting rid of the football, making good decisions. So the stat line, I mean, we can analyze the stat line. It wasn't great, you know, but nobody cares, right? When you look at the way the game plan was put together and what we were able to do on the ground, which, Rob, we come up here every week and we talk about, hey, you got to run the ball. And so Chuba has a career game, and we're complaining about Bryce Young's, you know, stat line. It just doesn't make sense. You know, we took advantage of what was given to us. We took all of our what we wanted on the ground, right? And so that's what the game plan was. Let's not nitpick about Bryce Young was, oh, we only had, you know, 100 and some yards, and he's never going to reach 250. And it's, we get into these nitpicky conversations that the goalpost continues to move with Bryce. Did he take care of the football? Yes. Did he get sacked? We got sacked one time. Brian Burns, naked bootleg. He came unblocked. It is what it is. But he's not putting the football in harm's way. And that's what we expect out of Bryce. He's more confident. He's making those deep throws, right? That was another complaint. Oh, we can't throw the football deep. It's getting there. And like you said, there were some drops. Shout out to my man Jalen Coker, who had a drop touchdown, right? That was another dime that was dropped. And so we have to take these things into account and look past just the stat line.
Do not disagree at all. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us here on the show. And obviously, you talked about Chuba career day. Wanted to get to that because this is something that even Lonzo and I have agreed on this. And that's becoming progressively more rare the longer we do this show. We're like grumpy old men at this point. And that is run the damn ball. Run the damn ball and let the run game dictate you. You did that. You have been saying over and over, I want 25 for Chuba Hubbard. I want 24. Well, it got to, I think, 28 this weekend, and it paid off and benefited. And I said a number of times earlier this week, to me, the fact that Bryce Young looked so more successful is because linebackers were having to stay honest. Defensive linemen couldn't just see ball, get ball because it was in the hands of number nine. It opened up that offense to allow Bryce to play within it. And this is the other thing that comes with that. Bryce Young's a guy that when he's confident in that pocket, that ball looks so much better coming out. That is all unlocked by having Chuba do what Chuba does. I think it was a good move to sign him to that 4-year. I think it's you know, we know Miles Sanders had to leave. Looks like it was an ankle tweak that's going to have him back when he's ready. But you guys activated John Brooks, which means he's coming too. I like the options that are on the table for the rest of this season.
Yeah, man, it's looking good, man. And salute to Chuba, man. That's a guy that's gotten progressively better year over year over year. His hands were bricks when he first got here, and he's gotten better. He's on the jug machine after practice. If you go to training camp, you watch him, he's the last one to leave because he's on that jug machine constantly. And so he's gotten better, and he's earned that contract, man. There was nobody more disappointed in the pick when it occurred than me, right? Taking running back, taking Chuba, I didn't like it. I'm going to be honest. But, man, he has paid off, and he's earned that contract. He's playing very well. He's gotten better. His vision's better. He's more patient runner. Just really, really good. And for him to get paid and then have a career day on top of that, man, how many times do we see guys that get paid and they just you know, they hit the couch and they, oh, I don't want to play anymore, their play falls off. No, Chuba delivers a career game. I love it. He's getting better. And like you said, man, Jonathan Brooks is on his way, too. I know Miles Sanders got injured, and, you know, it is what it is there. But Jonathan Brooks being activated is awesome for this team, and we're going to see a little bit of double trouble here. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, Stephen Davis, Deshaun Foster is coming with these two guys, and so I really like it.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought up that Thunder-Lightning combo. Listen, I feel uniquely positioned to address the Panthers in this market because as a lifelong Saints fan – I paid attention to y'all probably more than anybody else with the exception of the Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, but sharing division from the other point of view, when you guys ran that combo of running backs, the Thunder-Lightning combo a number of years ago, I hated it. Hated it as a Saints fan because it's like once you start going in one direction, they just flip and go the other way with that running back. It feels like you are set up for that with Chuba and John Brooks, assuming he's healthy, assuming that knee allows him to play like he did at Texas. That feels like a problem.
It will be. It will be a problem. And I was a little concerned about Chuba's being here long term because they drafted Jonathan Brooks. And obviously we locked him up. So these two guys will be together for the next 4 years. We don't know what's going to happen with Miles Sanders. I know he got injured, and prayers to him. Hope he gets better. But, man, this combo of Jonathan Brooks, they have very similar skill sets too. So it's not like you're going to take one off the field and you get predictable, right? These guys both are capable of doing damage out of the backfield and in the receiving game. So I love it, man. I love this backfield, and it's going to be really, really good moving forward.
Talk to me about your thoughts on the offensive line, because one of the other things I noticed in this game, or at least what I read into this game, it looked to me like the offensive line strategy was almost simplified a little bit. And obviously, it's going to be when you're going into the run game. I mean, you can start to throw in some counters and some pulls and some draws and all that. But at the end of the day, when you got a guy like Chuba, to me, man, just run the ball. Let's go maul him. Let's go on the line of scrimmage. It looked to me like a more simplified offensive line blocking scheme. We're just going to push you back. We're going to get Chuba his 2.5 yards worth of push, and then what he does after that's on him. And I thought an offensive line that has taken a lot of heat the last couple of years, probably justifiably, in this game, they just owned the Giants up front and it opened the door.
Yeah, and let's not forget here, the Giants, if they have any strengths, it is that defensive line. Dexter Lawrence is a problem, and he was largely neutralized, right? And so we got to give this offensive line a ton of credit, and they're banged up. Nobody's talking about the fact that we lost Austin Corbett for the year, right? And Cade May slides to the center position, and there's no drop off. Matter of fact, looking at the numbers, there's some improvement there. Right. And then now, not only that, you got Icky that's out and Brady Christensen slides to the left tackle. He's doing a great job, but he's not better than Icky. Right. And so when we're not even healthy and they're doing damage. So that offensive line, man, I give them all the credit in the world and salute to the offensive line coach that came from Tampa. He has some really good good talent over in Tampa. And we're starting to elevate ours a little bit over here. And salute, man, Robert Hunt, man, those two signings, Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, will probably go down some of the two of the best signings in Panther history. These guys are coming in.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt because I want you to finish that thought. Nope, but the one of the ones that jumped out to me, that touchdown run from Chuba Hubbard down real close, those two boys steamrolled that. I kept waiting to hear Brian Burns say, you're like, this is Brian Burns' revenge game, right? Like, this is his opportunity to go out there and kind of put. You heard his name like two times, and it's because every time he made a rush, Hunt and Lewis were just steamrolling dudes at the point of attack, and it was fun to watch, bro.
Yeah, it's fun, man. If you go back and look at Chuba Hubbard's long run, and you look at Robert Hunt running down the field and just pancaking folks, man, that's Panther football, man. That's what Panther football has been about, and that's why I'm glad they finally were able to run the football like they did. Now, do I want Chuba running the ball 28 times? I think it's a bit much. Let's find a happy medium of 20. I'll be happy with that. Prior to that, he was getting about 15 carries. So let's spread it around a little bit. We don't want to Christian McCaffrey him. You know, we don't want to overuse him, get him hurt. So let's be careful with that. You got to find a happy medium. But the run game is where it's at. That's the strength of this team. And now we're getting into the sense of where Dave Canales was talking about earlier. Sticking to that run game, you're going to be frustrated with how committed to the run game I am. Yes, that's what we wanted to see, and that's what we saw against the Giants, and it worked out very much so.
All right, real quick, got about 30 seconds left. You know, we've almost been kind of neglecting talking about the defense, and a lot of that is because how many guys are banged up and out for the year. It's almost like a lot of this defense ain't going to carry over because a lot of guys are reserves, practice squad guys that are just depth spots because you got so many dudes hurt. But the dudes that are out there balling out in this game, listen, Danny Dimes ain't that good, but if you give him time, he'll drop dimes on you. I was impressed, especially down the stretch. You got a couple of turnovers, including one in overtime that won you the damn football game. I think you got to give flowers. Even if a lot of these guys aren't going to be on the field next year, you got to give flowers to what they did in Munich.
Yeah, you got to start with DJ Wonnum, too. DJ Wonnum is a guy we picked up in the offseason. We hadn't seen him all year, dealing with some issues with that quad injury. And, man, he came back with a vengeance, bro. Like, he's the pass rusher we've been waiting to see. Had a sack, had a fumble, ton of tackles, a lot of pressures. That's what we needed to see out this defense. So people that were critical of Evero just need to pump the brakes a little bit. We weren't healthy. You're still missing Derrick Brown. We'll just wait until we get Derrick Brown back. Wait till we get Shaq Thompson back potentially. So we're still not even healthy. And so all that to say, man, we got to be a little patient. Things are trending upwards, and I love it. Salute to DJ Wonnum. Happy to see him back.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get to YouTube. Go search, go subscribe, go turn that bell on because they go live all the time, even when they are traveling the damn world on the other side of the planet. Rashad makes time to make sure he's bringing you all the latest Panther news and info. My dude, glad you made it. Glad you had a good time. Glad you're back safe, brother. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys. See
anytime,
you next
anytime, and every time. My man Rashad Beard joining us here every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Panther football with us, and we appreciate it. When we come back, Hayton Ass Mario from the BetQL Network talks NFL Fight Club with the great one Lonzo. That's after the great one Lonzo gives you this sports flash.
It's a whole lot of great right in a row. Glad to be a part of this show. After an eight-game winning streak, the Carolina Hurricanes have dropped two of the last three with a 4-1 loss to the Utah Hockey Club last night. I don't know if that's what they're called, the Utah Hockey Club. Okay, that's stupid.
That's awesome. The
Canes,
I love their jerseys.
The Canes allowed just 21 shots while taking 50, though UHC, which is better, goalie Carol Vajiminka had an incredible night stopping 49. Carolina returns to the ice Saturday night against the Senators. This is a dumb name for it. Jeez. We are just a day away from boxing history as a knockout machine. Iron Mike Tyson takes on the most punchable face in boxing, Jake Paul. Stay tuned right here for the hype leading up to the fight, which goes down tomorrow night, and we'll be talking about it in about 20 minutes. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as Vern Mountains take on the Tulane Green Wave in hardcore action right here on The Fan Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.